You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly, the official podcast of Bromley Football Club, bringing you all the news and latest updates from the relocated community stadium. My name is Matt Hall and co-presenting alongside me, as per usual, Mr. Josh Tindall. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very, very good. It's great to be back. We love recording this podcast. It genuinely is the highlight of our week, and we're really looking forward to bringing you another action-packed episode with some more brilliant guests coming up later in the show. Now, last week was an extremely busy week for all of us here. We've spoken about the London Senior Cup that took place on Halloween, Tuesday the 31st of October, and just 2 days after that, we had the visit of Mr. Jimmy Bullard, and none other than one of the funniest footballers and larger-than-life characters you're likely to meet in the game. And what a pleasure it was to host him. We caught up about that on last week's podcast. But just looking back, a really successful night and a really enjoyable one as well, and plenty of laughs, which is always great. Friday night, Josh, we had the visit of Welling United for the under-21s. And although they've been pretty much wiping the floor with most opposition and just brushing past them, they were held on this occasion by a Welling side who aren't too far away from them in the table. And it sounded like an entertaining game on all accounts. And it was a 1-1 draw in the end. And I believe that was the score at half-time as well, wasn't it, Josh?
Yeah, I think it was.
So,
I think it was.
You know, the positive is the under-21s remain unbeaten. That run carries on. It's a fantastic run of results that they've been on this season. And just mirroring the men's and women's team, which is, it's really nice to have, and you referred to it a few podcasts ago, the kind of three senior teams at the club all singing off the same hymn sheet, all ploughing along in the same way and getting those results and going on those long unbeaten runs. And fingers crossed for all three teams that can continue as much as possible. But well done to the under-21s managed to get the draw against some tough opposition and keep that run intact. And here's hoping for a successful next game for them.
We've got a couple of loan news, haven't we, Matt?
Loan update,
from
indeed.
From the under-21s. I don't know, did we cover it last week? I don't know, because obviously we've slept since then, so we forgot. So if not, this is the second time you can hear it. David Desire has joined Chatham Town on a one-month loan, and I'm actually getting really bad deja vu, Matt, and I do think we spoke about that last week, so we will quickly gloss over that, but I think he started, didn't he?
He did. He started the game the next day, actually, as Chatham Town took on Erith and Belvedere. And, yep, he started that game and they won, I believe, by 3-1. So a successful, not quite a clean sheet, but a successful debut, which is always helpful. And when you're going on loan to a club, it's always good to start with a win, isn't it? Especially the day after you sign. So well done to him.
And then Callum Corbin. He's had his loan extended, hasn't he, Matt?
He has. He's had his loan extended at Murstrum.
Learn.
Well, actually.
His loan.
Actually, his loan. Actually, he is learning. He's on loan and he's learning.
Don't try and defend yourself.
Yeah,
that was
all right. A little slip of the tongue, but actually.
It wasn't quite Wembley.
There was some deep thought around it.
It wasn't quite Wembley, Ellery Balcom, though.
No. But come on.
Number 30, Ellery Balcom.
It wasn't as bad as you're painting out there, Josh.
No, I'm joking. Carry on.
This guy just sits here and slates me.
Yeah, well.
That's all that happens.
Can we stop recording past 5 o'clock then?
Well, it's now 4:52, so the answer to that question is no.
Anyway,
moving swiftly
there
on.
Is.
And congratulations, in all seriousness, to Callum. He has become something of a fan's favourite at Murstrum. So good luck to him in the extension of his loan there. Now, that was all before Saturday's visit of Blackpool. In the FA Cup, one of the most anticipated fixtures in recent history for Bromley, the first round proper welcoming Blackpool, a side that were in the Premier League not that long ago, currently in League One, doing very well in League One in the playoff positions, came to the relocated community stadium with a very, very strong team. You look at some of the players in that team, Josh, Karamoko Dembele being the standout and obviously scoring the second goal. We'll come onto that more in a minute.
Yeah, do you remember when he did the rounds when he was like 13?
Yeah, Celtic, wasn't it?
Celtic, yeah. He was going to be the next best thing, wasn't he?
Well, I tell you what, he's still got a very good chance of doing that. He was something special, that's for sure, and a brilliant goal for him as well. But the week leading up to it, Josh, it was crazy. It was like nothing we'd ever experienced. I mean, we talked about the London Senior Cup. We've talked about Jimmy Bullard. That all added to the kind of busyness of the week. But everything kind of culminated around that, around that Saturday. So much stuff going on, so much media attention as well. I can't remember the last time I didn't get my seat in the press box, and I didn't on Saturday. So I stood for the game, which was quite interesting. But it was just, it was completely different to an average match day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember who I said it to, but the best bit about being a football fan is going to a game. I think it was Mash, actually, I said it to, but you go to a game on Tuesday night against Redbridge. No offence to Redbridge or the competition, but you go from Tuesday night at home to Redbridge in the London Senior Cup, and then a matter of days later, you experience something like that in front of the BBC team. Yeah. It's just mental.
It really is.
From Redbridge to Blackpool, London Senior Cup to FA Cup, and yeah, it was a good day. And like you said, you were stood up for the whole game because unfortunately you had to give up your seat, your space.
I
to
did the right thing and gave it up for Mash.
Well, that is the BBC presenters.
It was, but also Mash offered to stand, and I said no. Mash, you take the seat because Mash is reporting. I'm not reporting, so Mash needs the seat more than me. So yeah, it was an interesting week leading up to it as well. We talked about it briefly on last week's podcast, but the press conferences, BBC London were here filming stuff, and we had a visit from the actual FA Cup on Saturday.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Did you get your photo with it?
Only because
Josh isn't.
I'm not even being weird about it. Yeah, it's sentimental, whatever, but the look of it, it's not as good as the FA Trophy.
The FA Trophy is something special.
It's not as good at all.
It is. It's a lot more, I don't know, there's a lot more intricate detail on the FA Trophy. It's a different shape. It's just a bit out of the ordinary.
I mean, you look at the FA Cup and you go, yeah, Pep Guardiola, Wayne Rooney and that have held it, but on the FA Trophy, you've got John Parkin. That's the first thing that came into my head, who's held it. But sentimental stuff aside, yeah, the FA Trophy's a lot better, isn't it?
It visually, yes, but it was still brilliant to see a real piece of iconic English footballing silverware sat in our boardroom, and we weren't allowed to touch it. We were allowed to have photos taken with it and have a little look at it, but it wasn't that we could get nowhere near it. There was a security presence around it as well.
Yeah,
but it was brilliant to see the presenters and the hosts and the commentators and the BBC
Paul
crew.
Paul Robinson, the England goalkeeper
Paul Robinson, was on CoComs, and he was loving it here.
Because I even said to you, didn't I, when we got the list through in the week, I was like, is that
the
Paul
Robinson?
Or
the answer to that question is yes.
It was the Paul Robinson.
It was. We had Dion Dublin, we had Alex Scott, and we had Michael Appleton as well, the Charlton manager here. And I know Alex Scott and Dion Dublin had a look around and really, really loved what they saw.
Yeah.
Very, very complimentary. And the commentators were very complimentary about the club and everything that we did before the match and how we'd accommodated everyone during the week. Really, really nice. It was genuinely such a pleasure to welcome BBC and, the camera crew and everyone else in between for the build-up. It really kind of felt very special being a part of that, and I know it's the same for you, Josh, but even playing a little part in it, just that build-up, and you can start to feel the fire in your belly at the end, and it all culminated on that Saturday. Yeah.
But I think I said it to you, I think we obviously are used to TNT coming or BT in the past, whatever. The scale of the preparation and the equipment and stuff that the BBC bought here compared to TNT Sports. I mean, it was the same camera crew, wasn't it?
It was the same camera crew, yeah.
But the actual, everything that went into Saturday, I've never experienced before. Like, just the countless emails, the equipment they brought in, the space they needed. Like, it was mental.
Having to turn away press requests.
Well, yeah, but it was. Yeah, it was just...
The demand
was mad.
It was too much, wasn't it? We don't have enough press seats for all of these people. So, yeah, a really interesting, unique, quite special week, let's be honest, leading up to it. And there was genuine belief, wasn't there, that we could go and win that game. And I think rightly so, because some of the football we've played in the past few weeks, we haven't been at our best, but we've still won games. Prior to that, we've been playing some really, really good stuff. And we still are. We just haven't quite been at our best, but still getting those results. And Blackpool came to town. And Josh, I genuinely think the performance that day was better than some of the National League games we've actually got results and won in. That second half, Blackpool couldn't get out of their half.
Yeah.
You know, we completely dominated them. The only thing we couldn't do was score. And, we know, Michael Cheek, we love him. But nine times out of ten, that chance in the, you know, 85th minute, whatever it was, he buries that, he scores that, and then it's game on for the final few minutes. And Blackpool get a bit nervy. And they were a bit nervy.
Yeah, I think out of all the games where you don't have those four different angles pointing at you, I'm sure Michael Cheek was hoping that was a different game. But yeah, in fairness to him and the lads, it was a big occasion. And I mean, Blackpool scored really early on. And I think that...
Fourth minute, yeah.
For a team like Blackpool, you need to do that on TV against a National League team who are in good form. And Bromley, if we score first, it just... You know, the atmosphere would just grow and it'd be dangerous for him. So I think being 2-0 up at half time probably killed us a little bit. But fella coming on, I think he changed the game, didn't he?
He certainly did. And he can be unlucky, actually, to not have got that penalty award, which, you know, actually, he might have done the honest thing and kind of tried to stay on his feet. Maybe if he'd have gone down, he might have been given. But there were two penalty appeals for Bromley that weren't given. And on another day, they're given, aren't they?
And I thought Deji had a good game as well. Obviously, it was a big one for him with Michael Appleton being there in attendance, and fair play to Charlton for letting us play Deji in the FA Cup, because obviously they're hoping to go on a run for themselves. They've obviously got Cray Valley, so you know Cray Valley is in a position that like players like Deji will be playing against, it was good for Charlton to let us play him, and I thought he played well.
He certainly did. And like you say, having the Charlton manager there would have certainly added something to it for him. But first and foremost, wanting to do a good job for Bromley and try and get Bromley to the next round. It wasn't to be in the end, unfortunately, but we can be encouraged by that second half display, which, you know, I'll say it again, we penned in and battered a very good League One side who were weren't putting out a second string. That was a very strong team. The two goals that they scored, very, very, very good goals. Yeah. Very good goals. You could see they had that clinical edge. Mm. They did have that something extra in the first half. But the second half, on another day, we get that to 2-2, you know, or even we go on and win it. I mean,
Mash said, he said, if you're a League One team coming up against a National League team, all you've got to be is the same League One team that you've been the whole season, and you'll be levels above Bromley. And that's what they did in the first half. And yeah, that put it out of reach. But I think the day as a whole was good. We obviously had the remembrance stuff, and yeah, it was a good day.
Certainly was. And what an honour to have the local air cadets come down to play the last post, and also two of the iconic Chelsea pensioners who were very... We are very appreciative of them giving up their time. They're going to be at the Albert Hall this weekend for the remembrance ceremonies, and we were delighted to welcome them. A real honour as we tried to pay our respects to our fallen heroes in the best way that we could. So very pleased with how all of that went. And actually, Josh, we talk about the stuff on the field. The players gave a very good account of themselves, but also everything off the pitch, the community angle of the club, the professionalism of the club, the setup, all came across really well.
Yeah, and... I think as well the support on the day was good. Late kickoff, it's on BBC, and it was raining.
So the weather wasn't great, was it?
I'm not going to lie. You can easily look at that game and go, do you know what? It's just, I watched on TV, but it was a really good turnout. Fair play to the Blackpool fans that came over as well. Not the nicest of weathers to experience in an open terrace. So, yeah, no, it was an all-round good day. And I know on our little running order we've got, we're going to speak about the women's game on Sunday, but I think maybe we should go straight into Boreham Wood first. Matt?
Indeed. We are facing a Boreham Wood side who have not had the best season so far. They lost 4-1 to Eastleigh in the FA Cup last week, also bowing out at the first round. And usually these have been very, very tight games. We've seen them go, some go Boreham Wood's way, some go our way, and some end in draws. There have been some classic encounters over the years as well with the title race in the National League South, which I remember very well in the 2014-15 season. It was between Bromley and Boreham Wood all the way, and it really came very, very close at the end. And there was a game between the two sides here. I think it was kind of around Easter time, and it was billed as the title decider, and the team that won that game would go on and win the league. And Boreham Wood actually went 1-0 up. Bromley ended up winning 2-1. You've posted it on a number of occasions, I think, Josh, with the Bradley Goldberg goal, the second one. Anthony Cook got us back level with a penalty, and then Bradley Goldberg with the winner following a brilliant pass from Jack Holland, of all players. That is probably the game that sticks in people's memories. But look, there are similarities between the clubs in terms of, you know, they haven't really struggled since they've come up to the National League. They've both established themselves as National League clubs. Boreham Wood not having the best season, as I've mentioned, so far. They are certainly capable of turning that around. They're currently in 18th place on 20 points. They did have, it was 5-1, sorry, not 4-1, defeat in the FA Cup last week. And actually, from their October results, they were unbeaten in the league. They had two draws, one against Southend and one against Wiltstone, and a 3-1 win against Dagenham and Redbridge. But prior to that, their results had been a little bit disappointing. Luke Garrard, Josh, will be looking to get them back on form. They've certainly got enough quality in that squad to do so. We just hope it's not going to be on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, looking at their squad, Timmy Abraham, he's a good player. I don't know if he's done much this season. Should have done my research, but no, he's not played too many. But I remember he was at, where was he at? He was at
Newport County. Yeah, on loan from Fulham, I believe.
And yeah, I mean, they're a strong team,
of course.
They always have been, but you know, we'll go out there and, you know, take care of our business, is what Andy said. And obviously Lee and
yes, I was just going to say that. Lee and Love, yeah.
That's who I forgot. Yeah.
That's the one. Scored a good goal here last year, do you remember?
He did, yeah. But he's always been a bit of a danger man, hasn't he?
He has, and that's what I was just going to say, actually. A couple of familiar names in there. Liam Lovu for one reason, Tyrone Marsh as well, Nathan Ashmore. These are players that are very experienced in the National League.
Bush.
And of course, Mr. Chris Bush. And he'll be facing Bromley for the second time, having left Bromley last year to join Boreham Wood, and played against Bromley in the 1-1 draw here at the Relocatum Community Stadium just a little bit later on in that season. So yes, we'll be seeing him again.
It was a good night last time. I know you weren't there, Matt, but yeah, Adam Marriott
at the double, wasn't it?
Two goals. It was it was a good game and a good win.
And two good finishes from Adam Marriott as well. Yeah. I remember watching the goals. You're right, I wasn't there, unfortunately. But two really good finishes from Adam Marriott. And he's someone, let's just talk about him quickly. It's been brilliant to see him back in training now after his surgery. Back in training, back doing running, back involved and amongst the team. And it's just been good to see him build up his morale, having come back in from a while out. He's now back in amongst the boys, and he's a part of it again. And for me, he's one of the nicest people that I've come across in football.
Yeah.
And it's really good to see him back. If you have an Adam Marriott that is firing on all cylinders, as we saw, at the start of last season, injury free, you've got one of the best strikers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this earlier, didn't we?
We did. We were,
obviously, I'm going to be biased because obviously, being a Lincoln fan, he provided the greatest assist I've ever seen in my life. and gave us one of the best nights ever. So obviously I really, really like Adam Marriott, and it must be hard for him to unite, because he played well for us last season, and he's played well for Barnet, Kings Lynn. He knows what it takes to be a top player at this level, and to not only get injured, but I think to see the likes of Fella come in, even Bim, to be fair, Bim's looked good, but Fella probably seeing him do well is can't be nice to see when you're out injured. You can't affect what's going on. Obviously it's a team game and you'd want the team to do well, but he'd be so eager to, you know, recover and be back out there competing for his spot, because he just wants to play football.
I think, like you say, it's difficult in one way because you want your place in the team, but he's got the experience, the ability to come back in and fight for his place. Yeah. And that's exactly what he's going to do.
The fact that we have got that strike force now for him to come back, and when he is back fit, he won't be chucked straight in, because we've got that strength up front now.
Indeed. It is a brilliant strike force. And also, you look at the defence and the amount of players that we've got there now. We do have much better strength in depth, don't we, at the moment, yeah, than in previous years. You can now have an injury, which obviously we don't want, but these things happen in football, yeah, and there are
well, look
certainty.
At the team we put out against Cray Valley compared to Redbridge. That probably says it all.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't last year. No. We can't risk those injuries. And this year we've had Callum Reynolds, Kido. You know, we had a really strong 11 against Redbridge that we couldn't quite put out last year. So
indeed. Yes, very, very good point. And, of course, talking of County Cups, we are in County Cup action in the Kent Senior Cup later this month. Tuesday, the 28th of November, kickoff 7:45 at Dartford FC, taking on Dartford. And it'll be good to see Bromley and Dartford lock horns again after some brilliant battles in the National League South over the years. Of course, the FA Cup as well. Not that this one will have the same magnitude or the same atmosphere.
We've had, two or three friendlies, haven't we, over the past couple of years? I know we had a mid-season one, didn't we, just before COVID?
Mr. Do you remember Luke that? Coulson.
At Dartford, and then obviously
pre-season, yeah.
And obviously the past couple of pre-seasons, we've had them here, but...
And Mr. Luke Coulson, who, of course, is an academy coach. He's just next door now.
Yeah.
There's a little knock for Luke Coulson. Playing for Dartford as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We'll need to get him on.
Yeah, we do need to get him on soon. We're overdue a bit of a dose of Luke Coulson.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You have to have a bit of Luke Coulson in your life.
We'll make it happen. Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. It's good to have him back in the building. Really, really is.
Of course you do.
Very good. That's almost as good as my learn one earlier.
except mine was deliberate.
All right. What do you know? It's been brilliant to see the results of the women's team. We commented on that earlier. They had a 9-0 victory against Camden and Islington United on Sunday. Huge thank you to everyone who came to support on that day and came to watch. And of course, that was one thing, but the even bigger game is coming up this weekend as they take on AFC Portchester at the Relocatum Community Stadium. Josh, it's a huge game, and against a side that are also doing very well this season.
It's a huge game because it's a winnable game, and if we win, it'll be the first time we've ever reached round two. So you want to be part of that history and get yourself down, come and support the team. They're doing so well this year, and the football that has been played this year is so different to the past couple of years, and there is something special going on there. And I mean, when you've got a striker on 3 hat-tricks in a row now, that's not even her total number of hat-tricks this season. That's just consecutive.
I might be wrong. Is it 24 goals in 10 games?
It's absolutely mental.
For Charlotte Lee?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And she has, we read this earlier, she's actually featured in an FA Women's Cup quarterfinal for Charlton Athletic previously in her career, where she took on Arsenal. So that is something to...
But what do you... If you're a defender and you look at that...
You can't do anything.
Like, surely you must be fearful before you even get here.
But that her experience is really benefiting her teammates as well.
Yeah.
And you look at... we saw it again on Twitter earlier, the goal from the game against Sevenoaks, which was also in the FA Cup, the overhead kick. absolutely incredible skill. She is some player. And there are also some other brilliant players in that team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's going to take the plaudits, the headlines, and potentially the big award at the end of the season for, you know, player of the year and whatever. But the goals are coming from all sorts of different players. I know Bryony Hart, Beth Hull as well. A lot of them are getting on the score sheet. And, you know, it's the clean sheets as well. I know Sophie praised the goalkeeper last week, and you know, it's just a team effort that, you know, everyone's just gelled together. There's a mixture of academy graduates now and the older players, and Sophie said last week that's what they've been missing, and now they've got that mixture of young
strength
and old
as well,
which, you know, works here. We sat down with Ben Crowhouse, haven't we, who said about, you know, working with Webbo and stuff. You do need that in your team, because that's what it is now. And, you know, it's, it's exciting. And, yeah, it's just another chance to create history.
Indeed. And we're very, very much looking forward to it. And fingers crossed they can book themselves into the next into the next round.
Because it's quite a quick turnaround.
It is. It's 26th of October, isn't it?
In the next... Was it? In the next 4 weeks, I think the next two rounds are going to be played.
Yeah.
Or scheduled to be played.
It's early December, isn't it, for the third round?
So
it could all be history made for Bromley women in the next couple of weeks. Fingers crossed that we can do it. The team are the best team we've ever had, and I've no doubt that they're going to go and do themselves very, very proud. And we really look forward to seeing how all of that goes.
But so the thing is, as well, they just... They make it look so easy. The amount of times it's
effortless,
been 4-5-0 up at half time.
It's effortless. That's it. Yeah.
The game's over by by half time. What do you say in that changing room when you're 5-0 up? You just sit there and just wait for the second half so you can.
But they do keep
doing
going.
What they're doing.
They don't.
No, exactly.
Let their foot off the gas.
Exactly.
Which is a great example.
Yeah.
Actually, don't take your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen in football, and we know that.
But no, they're confident they'll win, and they should be.
Right, well, on to the section for our guests now. And on today's podcast, we've got Roy Oliver in his usual slot of Roy Remembers.
We've also got Andrea Ellis, who will be speaking about the Women's FA Cup on Sunday.
And we've got a special guest, Mr. Joe Broad, first team analyst. And here's what all of them had to say for this week's podcast.
Roy Oliver, thank you for joining us on the podcast again. It is your weekly section of Roy Remembers. Let's start by looking back on Saturday. You were obviously there, as you always are. What did you make of the game?
I thought we played well. You know, it was always going to be a tough game. You know, there was sort of two leagues above us, you know, and the early goal, I think, set us back a little bit. And then they got the second one, which was made and scored by Dembele. And that really put us on our back foot. But credit to Bromley, we never stopped trying, never stopped working. And I just thought if we got one goal back, we would possibly get another one back.
And we played really well in the second half, didn't we? I think Fella changed the game a little bit when he came on. Did you believe, despite being 2-0 down, did you believe that we could, you know, turn it around in that second half?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I always believe, you know, and at the end of the day, if you're losing a game 2-0 half-time, you've got to, as I say, you've got to throw the kitchen sink at the other team. And I thought we played very, very well. We just needed that bit of breakthrough, bit of luck. You know, we had chances. You know, so the team, to their credit, always give 100%. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for.
And now we've got Boreham Wood away on Saturday. Will you be going to that one?
I will be, yes. Yes.
As always. Yeah. obviously, it's a tough place to go to. Boreham Wood haven't been the same sort of team that they've shown in the past few years, but still a really tough place to go on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree with Andy Woodman, and he says, there's no easy games in this league. You know, you can beat the top team 1 week and you can lose to the bottom team the next week. So you've got to go there giving 100%. Because if you don't, you'll get turned over. So, and I no doubt we will start the game as we usually do, to win it. You know, we've got some good players.
So you're here for your Roy Remembers section.
Yeah.
What story have you got for us today?
So I've got the Kent Amateur Cup of 1954. It's 19th of April, and we played Mason United at Bromley, and the attendance was 8,000, and the takings were £800. So, you know, so if Bromley had 8,000 a day, what would be the takings?
Oh, wow.
It would be more than £800,
it
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So Bromley went 1-0 with Ray Hill scoring, and it was 1-0 at half time. And then straight away in the second half, we scored again with Dennis Studley. They got one back. There we went. Dennis Studley got another one, made it 3-1. And then he got another one, made it 3-2. And Rich Dunmore, the Bromley captain, who I remember seeing him playing, 1960. That was his last season. And he looked like Bobby Charlton with the way his hair was. And I can still see him ploughing through the mud at Hayes Lane. And he received the trophy, and they all received medals from the Kent people, like. So we won the game 3-2. But I've also got one little snippet here, and it's from 2001, and it's the 27th of January 2001, and it's called Dan Dan Footy Dan. And it is, I'm going to read it out, and it says, a soccer ref sent off a player from each side, both called Danny Smith. They were both in their late 20s. They were shown the red card by official Chris Overall after a mass brawl at the Sussex side Worthy, drew 2-2 with Bromley from Kent. The Smiths made their exit in the 68th minute of the heated Ryman League Division 1 game. Eight other players were booked in the bust-up over a late tackle, and a third player then got his marching orders. But this is the interesting thing about it. Graham Sharp, or bookies William Hill, put the odds on the players of the same name being red carded at 10,000 to 1.
Oh my god.
And I've often wondered, up to this day, did someone put a pound on that?
That is brilliant. Yeah. So he was a player on, yeah, so a name on both sides.
Yes.
The players on both sides with the same name, and yes, they both got sent off.
Both got sent off
at the same time.
Fighting, yeah.
That is mental. That's like us playing Boreham Wood on Saturday,
yeah,
having a player called Michael Cheek, and
yeah,
both Michael Cheeks getting sent off at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
And I've often wondered, did someone go in the bookies and go, I'm putting a pound on that?
I wouldn't even think anyone would think of that. That is mental.
But then the other thing is, could it be playing? Did they know each other?
Mm. Well,
so, interesting thought, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
That's
brilliant.
And I thought, I dug that out. I was in my folders, and I thought, oh yeah, that'd be a nice one to put in.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
So obviously, you've got plenty of stories for us lined up in the future. Could you give us a little teaser into what you've got coming up?
I've got the tour of 1924 and also the one of Spain. So there's lots of other cup finals. I'm going to do a big one on the Amateur Cup final 1949. I'm just waiting for one attendance. I've got all the attendances for the games. Because over 200,000 people watch Bromley just in that cup run, which is staggering.
That's so good. Yeah, really, really good turnout on Saturday. Obviously, yeah, you were part of it as well, and you want those supporters that it. Yeah. You'll agree, it's easy to turn up for an FA Cup game. Obviously, we want to pack the ground for games like that, but we need that same support throughout the league games as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And hopefully people who come down for this that special game last week are saying, I like this football, and I'm coming again.
Yeah.
And so they start becoming Bomber supporters.
Exactly.
Because I always remember Woking, they built their support basically on FA Cup runs a few years ago. They just kept getting to the FA Cup second round or third round, and they built that people going every. It's all about repetition, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And people have got to start somewhere. Obviously, you get the whole plastic fans, whatever, getting thrown around. But
yeah,
I mean, if it takes a game against Blackpool for people to, you know, pick up that enjoyment, then you've got to start somewhere. So
I think there was a comment from a Blackpool person, wasn't there?
Yeah,
thanking for the hospitality and the way they were treated and all that. You know, which is. That's what it's all about. It's not just about us. It's about the away sport. I know there's always a bit of banter between supporters and all that. You know, they shout a few things and we shout a few things back. But, you know, it's how people get on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I remember when we beat Wrexham in the trophy final, we was outside the ground and we spoke to quite a few Wrexham supporters.
Yeah.
There was one or two. Not so good comments from a couple of them, but good comments from most of them. They said, you were a better team, you deserve to win it.
Brilliant.
Which is, you know, it's all about being sportsmanship.
Yeah, I mean, for the 90 minutes, you can, you know, it's all left out on the pitch, but away from it, you know, it's a game of football at the end of the day. I know it's people's lives and whatever, but...
Yeah.
No, it is good, and I hope Blackpool fans enjoyed the day. Obviously, they won, so they'd have enjoyed it more than our fans. But and then obviously we're the away fans on Saturday for Boreham Wood, so it'll be hopefully another good performance from our lads.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Josh.
Thank you for joining us today, Roy, and we'll catch up next week.
You're welcome,
Andrea. Thank you for joining us again on the podcast. You were on it last week as well, weren't you? When we were sat with Sophie.
Yeah, you've had me back.
I know. I can't believe it, to be fair.
To be fair, I didn't really get a word in edgeways with her with Sophie.
True. Right, let's go straight into it. Obviously, Sunday is a little bit of a big day, isn't it? Would you like to give just a little overview on what is coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, of course. Sunday, FA Cup day. So we obviously did it on Saturday with the lads in the first round, and we've got the same for the women's team. So we've got AFC Porchester in the first round proper of the women's FA Cup on Sunday. It's a home game, so here at the Relocatum Stadium. Kickoff is 1 o'clock. And we're trying to get a really big crowd down to support the girls, because as Sophie said last week in her podcast, that makes such a difference to have a really big crowd. And they've been growing and growing as the season's been going on. So we're going to really, really have a great day and get behind the girls.
And let's just sum up the season so far, because it's been unbelievable, hasn't it? I mean, to win every game so far this season. I think it's, 11 games in?
Yeah, 11 games in.
And they've won every single one.
I know. It's unreal. So they won in the League Cup last Sunday against Camden and Islington. So a club in the same tier as them, just in a slightly different region, they won 9-0. So it wasn't just your 1 or 2-0, was it? You know, 9-0 is amazing. I think it was Charlotte Lee's third hat-trick in a row.
That's not even her season total, is it?
No.
That's not even her total amount of hat-tricks this season. That's just consecutive.
Is it about 5 hat-tricks?
I think so, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. She's, you know, tearing it up. It's great. I mean, everything she's touching at the moment is going in the goal, basically. So, yeah, but it's not only just Charlotte. I mean, Mercedes scored 2 goals last weekend and... You know, they had a great all-round performance. So, goals from all over the pitch. So, I think the girls are really, really excited. They had training last night, really high energy, really positive, and they can't wait for Sunday. And, you know, I mean, they're in the first round proper. If they make it to the... If they win, that's the furthest they've ever been in their history.
Yeah, because I remember that game. It was at QPR, wasn't it? Or it was at Hamwell Town against QPR.
Yeah.
And obviously that was their first time in round one, I think it was. And now, 2 years later, we're trying to better that. And I think there's more confidence going into this one, isn't there?
Definitely. I mean, in last season as well, they played Millwall Lionesses. We had a great crowd for that. But it wasn't first round proper. So they've got a bit of momentum going now. Really good in defence, not conceding. I mean, everything, you know, fingers crossed, they carry it out, just keep playing the way that they've been playing. And just, I mean, I'm really buzzing for it, really buzzing for it. It'd be brilliant. We've got mascots, flag bearers, Ronan the Raven's going to be down here. There's going to be a meet and greet afterwards, so anyone who wants to come along and get some photos, the girls are very obliging. They love doing all of that. It's great. Broomfield is open. I mean, what more can you ask for? I mean, there's no men's game on Saturday, so, you know, I know people love to have at least one game during the weekend, and, you know, why not come down and try the women's game? I mean, it's a great atmosphere, and you won't regret it.
And there's a good mixture of players this season. I think it's been a very... I think Sophie said last week, didn't she? There's a good mix of young and older players now. So you've got the same sort of thing as the men's team with, you know, the likes of Ben Crowhouse, and then you've got Byron Webster. You've got that in the women's team now, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why they're doing so well this season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've got some girls that came through from the JPL, so they've been playing with the club here for a little while. And we've got some... Maddie Bones just signed from Millwall as well. So we've got a real good mixture of, like, experience and those that are new to the league as well. So really, really good mix. And they just seem to be gelling. And there's just a really nice buzz about the team at the moment. It feels like we're really moving forward. And I think we felt that around Hayes Lane, to be honest, with both the men and the women. It's very, very similar. I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen on social media, we've had quite a few good luck messages. So Andy actually even cracking a joke about getting to round two. So, but which is great, because everyone wants everyone to do really well, this one club.
And we were obviously at that midweek game, weren't we, against Welling. That was another really comfortable win, but... Like you said, like, there's just such a change now between even last season. I remember going to work a couple of the women's games, and I think just the environment, the actual, you know, there's a fan group now as well, which Sophie spoke about, and there's a following behind the women's team now, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I know that some of the gents that go down to Ravens chat are coming along and backing some of them, as sponsors some of the players as well, so that's great to see. I mean, there's definitely a core crowd here now of people that are coming down and supporting both home and away. So, and long may it continue, because I actually brought some of my under-9 girls to that Welling game, and it was their first ever game. A live game, so, and they absolutely loved it, and it's a great experience, and one that I can really highly recommend. So good to see that sort of core support is growing, and I think it makes a difference to the girls. They know that, they can hear it, they take that with them, and that spurs them on.
What's it like for you? Because obviously when you were growing up, it was very different the way women's football was perceived, whereas now it's, you know, it's slowly becoming, you know, equal to the men's game. Obviously there's still some way to go, but what's it been like for you to see the progression over the years?
I get quite emotional about it, really. I'd lie if I say I wasn't a little bit jealous. I was born a little bit too early. I mean, I'm not saying I would have made it anywhere, but, you know, just to have the opportunities would have been great. I mean, my daughter's having that now. She's having those opportunities, having been here at the academy and, you know, getting that opportunity of having her education alongside playing. I mean, you know, what a brilliant chance to sort of to take up and be able to access. So I think it's great. I think it's about time, and I think in its own way it's carving out its own path. Interestingly, I went to go and see Serena Wiegmann last night at a High Performance Podcast, a live audience, and we were talking about comparing men's and women's football. We don't need to, it's football. No. And, you know, she cut all her hair off and pretended she was a boy, and, you know, look where she's had to, what she's had to struggle to get through to be, you know, one of the best coaches in the world. So hopefully things like that won't happen anymore. And we obviously need to get more female coaches in the game. But yeah, the opportunities for women to play and the fact that they're now getting big crowds across all the leagues, not just the WSL and the Championship, but, you know, further down, and people are actually recognising the fact that it's football, and, you know, and that go and support your team.
And obviously the opportunities given at Bromley as well was, you know, open the door for that to be, you know, a bigger thing here. Obviously we've had yourself take on, you know, your role in the community trust, and now sort of moving on to Bromley Women as well. We've got, you know, a lot of female staff members now, and whether that's Jackie or, you know, the sports science people that, that, you know, work behind the scenes, it's still, you know, it's still growing, which must be good for you to see compared to what it was like when you were growing up.
Oh, definitely, because, you know, we've got a good group of female coaches and other women that work within the club. I mean, I always, we highlight that International Women's Day in March each year, but you can see very clearly there's a lot of women working in the football environment. You know, got Harriet in hospitality, and you've got, like you say, Jackie and the academy team as well, and Emily in sports science. So, and myself, and, you know, it's not, I've always felt very fortunate. I know I shouldn't probably feel fortunate because it should be the norm, but it unfortunately hasn't for women. But that being here at the club, there has always been a very clear passion about making football inclusive. When I spoke to the club 5.5 years ago about setting up a recreational session for older women, you know, it was welcomed with open arms. And that was actually quite a trailblazing idea. And, you know, and we've grown and grown, the Bromley Bells has grown, and that is, you know, I would say a big part of that, a significant part of that, is because of the ethos of the club in the way that they've supported that. And I don't actually know a lot of National League teams that would have a full-time women and girls development officer like myself. So, you know, and I think if you invest in these things like the club have and the community trust have, it, you know, you get good things back. And, you know, having 200, 300 females walk through the door each week, taking part in all sorts of different activities, it you know, it's really rewarding to see that. Football's a great leveller and it brings lots of people together. And that sort of sense of belonging of being part of Bromley Football Club is growing and growing for lots of people. And it opens up other doors, you know. We've had some people that joined last year through the Football for Absolute Beginners, which is a programme for any adult female who wanted to take up football, do like a 5-week course. And that's really, really then went into Bells Recreational. So I'm sure Verity won't mind me saying, but Verity did that. Then she joined the Bells. She's a photographer as well.
I know, I was going to say, there's always a certain pathway, isn't there?
And absolutely. So, and now she's taking photos for the women's team games. And, you know, and it's brilliant. And that's not the only person, you know. We've had some of the Bells come and be coaches, some of the academy girls are coaches. The involvement is just been brilliant. So many different opportunities, not just about playing football. I always feel that a football club's role is about being part of the community and people belonging to it. And, you know, and this is a great example here of that actually happening.
And obviously this season you've worked a lot closer to the women's team. How have you found your relationship with the players and, you know, watching it from the side and, you know, getting more involved in that environment?
Oh, I've loved it. Absolutely loved it. I'm really, really excited about the future. The girls are fantastic. They've got so much passion and enthusiasm for the club and wanting to do well. There's a great team buzz. And I think that shows on the pitch as well. And we had them all in for a media day as well, so that was really good. And yeah, really looking forward to getting to know them even better, actually. But got some really, really good feedback from them about kind of the additional sort of time that we're spending on helping with the women's team and how we're promoting them, you know. So that's been really, really good, and yeah, I'm really excited to be part of that journey.
And finally, just looking ahead to Sunday again, how confident are you that the girls can go out and, you know, do the job?
Very, very confident. Portchester's going to be tough. They're also in the first round proper for the first time, so they've made history. But yeah, I'm confident. Everyone, come down and support them. £5 for adults. Under 16s that accompany an adult are free, and all club members. So if you've got a season ticket, come down, it's free. Broomfield is open. Come and see Ronan, have your photo, watch the girls warm up. Half-time penalty against Ronan as well. So yeah, really, really excited about the game, and come on, let's get behind the girls.
And I'm not going to lie, it's one of those where if they do it in years to come, you can look back and think, I was at that game.
Absolutely.
Created history. I mean, we're still, you know, we're still aiming for a record attendance as well, aren't we, on Sunday?
We are, yeah. I mean, obviously last year we had a great attendance against Millwall. They brought quite a few fans, but it'd be great to get a good attendance just to see, and then for the girls to be able to showcase what they can actually do on the pitch. So, yeah, all fingers crossed, and they need the support from the crowd, so from the stands. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. Bring it on.
We are now joined by Joe Broad, our head of performance analysis. Joe, how are you feeling being on the podcast?
Very good. Finally got me on. Been bantering about it for a couple of weeks saying I'll come on, but you've finally got me on it.
I know. I think we're going round all of the backroom stuff at the minute. I think we've had...
be the last one, surely.
I don't know. I think we're lining up Tom Cocking, I think, next. So he doesn't know that yet, but we're slowly going round everyone. Have you seen Huss's interviews, Brannan's?
Yeah.
Are you always a bit nervous
always
now?
Listening. Oh, I'm always behind the camera, so I'm not used, yeah, to being, not used to being in front of the camera, but yeah.
Well, speaking of being behind the camera, what is your role at the football club?
What sort of day-to-day?
Day-to-day,
on a weekly basis, it sort of involves watching the opposition, really, breaking it down, strengths, weaknesses. And then sort of overall, towards the end of the week before we play the game, it's just putting the clips together into a video, break it down into in possession, out of possession, and then set plays to show it back to the boys in the analysis room next door.
So how vital is your role, do you think, to whether we, not putting you on the spot, but like if we win or lose on a Saturday, is how much of that is down to
well,
you?
I'll take all the glory if we win. won't tell the gap of that, but no, it's just about finding those little margins that if there's a particular weakness, we identify in the opposition, showing that to the boys. If it's something they work on then in training, or finding something they're particularly good at, if a wing back's particularly good, wants to cut inside, it's just making our players aware of what they do so that we can nullify it when it comes to the Saturday.
And speaking of Saturdays and obviously Tuesday nights as well, what is your role on a match day?
So probably don't see me much around the club on a match day. I'll be up in the gantry behind the camera, really. I'll be filming the game and then creating clips based on, so it could be like the goals, for example. So if the coaching staff want to see the goal down the bench, it can be sent down there straight away. Yeah, that's sort of my match day, really.
What's it been like for you to work with Woody and Brannan, Steve, Dunny? What's it been like for you?
It's been great. They've all been at the highest level. They've worked with top analysts like Arsenal, Millwall. So yeah, sort of learning every day, really, what I can do to be at that level.
And you've had a similar journey to me, haven't you, in the sense that you were here initially on like a placement period during uni and then obviously started working here full time. What was it like for you to when you first started working here?
To start off, it was a bit of an eye-opener, really. It's my first, like, as an intern, sort of your first taste of football in a full-time environment, really. So you're always looking on the outside as a fan, but you never really understand what actually goes on behind the scenes, the details that go into preparing for a game. So it's quite an eye-opener, really, to actually be in that environment.
And obviously the players that we've got now compared to, you know, those when you first came here, how much has, you know, the squad grown in, you know, not even in size, but like...
Well, definitely in terms of size this season.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, just in quality, really.
Yeah, it's definitely grown year on year, I think, with where we finished in the league as well. My first season at the FA Trophy win, and then to then go on the next season to get in the playoffs, and then hopefully one better this year. I think that shows the progression in the team as well, the quality and depth as well.
And you mentioned there about Wembley. What was that like for you? Obviously, during that season, you were only doing this to gain experience and stuff. You didn't have the responsibility that you do now. But what was that like for you?
I think it's something that everyone dreams of, really. Like your first season in full time football, and to top it off with a win at Wembley. You know, it's not often you get to do that. So to do it in your first season, you know, you can ask for much better, really.
And then obviously the playoffs last season, that must have been amazing for you to be a part of. Obviously throughout the season, I bet the emotions are so up and down. Yeah, like over January time,
really.
Like,
I remember that Chesterfield game where we got in the playoffs. Like it was a bit of a relief, really. Like you sort of, it's like 45 games I think we played at that point to then actually get in the playoffs. It was a good feeling. But I think it was the ups and downs of that season, really. We went through a tough period through the middle of the season, then sort of pick up towards the back end. So it's a long season, and to have something out of it, it's good.
And what about your background, obviously, before all of this? As a kid, did you, you know, five-year-old Joe go, do you know what, I want to be a performance analyst, or was there like a different path for you?
No, it wasn't always analysis. It started off actually, like when I first decided, you know, I wanted to work in football. It was what I originally wanted to do was what Tom and Huz are doing now downstairs. I did my work experience at Everton when I was 17, like at school, and I was doing like the sort of shadowing, like the physio, sports science, all that stuff. But that was sort of when I decided that actually I saw all the analysis stuff upstairs, and that's like. As Dad decided, yeah, that's the analysis I wanted to do.
And you've built your own little team as well. Obviously, people know who Ronan is. I know he's
part of the furniture. He's been here years,
but he's mainly academy under 21s now. But obviously, you've got people like Chris who you bring in as well. Yeah, what's it been like to form your?
We got a couple of interns. We're across the club. So we got Chris who does some first team bits with me. And then we've got two recents who work with Ronan as well. So they do the academy, like JPL teams. They sort of help all those teams as well. So we got a couple of us that are all sort of chipping in really across the club.
And how good is your relationship with Ronan? Because I guess you've got to have that because of, you know, the growth in, you know, the Kellen Fishers, Ben Crowhouses and stuff. You need to keep tabs of what's happening in the academy and 21s.
Yeah, Ronan's great. He's always a big help. Like we help each other. If he needs something doing, then I can help him. Likewise, we try to keep everything aligned between the academy and the first team, so that when the boys do come through, like Ben and Kellen, that it's nothing new. The analysis when they come to the first team, because at the under 21s level, Ronan's doing giving a similar thing. So we keep it aligned across the club.
And obviously, you're a Charlton fan as well, aren't you?
Yep.
What's it been like to work at, you know, a club that have a good relationship with Charlton? Obviously, we signed players on loan from there, and we've obviously got Deji. Yeah, What's it like for you?
It's a lot of players that you watch already. Like I see it when I'm watching the games. I don't get to many games now, other than the Craig Ballet at the weekend. But less said about that, the better. But no, yeah. So a lot of the sort of the boys we've had, I've seen play live before that, just from being a fan as well. So then to see them come through the door and do well, no, it's always good.
And obviously, when you first came here, it was, you know, it wasn't quite Porter Cabin days, but I remember we were sat in the Ravens bar every day
in the winter, cold coats on. Like, it's different good. Now, isn't it? When we're in
all the players were doing their stretches in the bar. But what's it been like for you to watch the development of the club?
No, it's been massive. Like, to think we were in the Ravens in the winter, and now we're in a ready-made like media room doing the podcast. Now it's completely different. Like, we've got our own analysis room. I remember we'd have to set up the venue every day, like just to do meetings, and you'd have to set up from scratch every day, move the chairs and everything. And now we can just walk in like before the meeting, and it's all ready to go.
And this season, what have you made of it so far? Obviously, the start a little bit up and down, but we've been on such a good run over the past couple of months.
Well, apart from Blackpool, I think we've only lost about one in 17, one in 18 in the league, and that was to the league leaders, who, I mean, with their budget should be at the top. So I don't think we really could ask for much better, really, with the start of the season. Obviously, we'd like to catch up with the top two. We'll keep going. Hopefully, we'll reach. Keep catching them.
And what's the mood like amongst the players? Obviously, you'll see it firsthand compared to most people who work here. But what's it been like to see? Because obviously, there's close relationships in there, aren't there? Like, it seems like a proper team of players.
Yeah, especially with the squad size, where everyone still is a group. But at the same time, I don't think anyone's getting too carried away with where we are in the league. You know, football can change very quickly, so it's all just keeping about a level head and just sort of keep pushing through, really, and keep grinding the results out.
And without completely going tactical overboard on Boreham Wood, because obviously we don't know who's listening to this, but how do you see Saturday going? Obviously, it's a difficult opposition, but they haven't started as well as they probably have hoped. So no, what's been your preparations this week?
Without going into too much detail, like, they're still, despite where they are in the league and sort of the results they've had, they've picked up in recent weeks, but I mean, they're always a tough game. They've got good individual players, but yeah, it'll be a tough game.
And this episode is mainly focused on the Women's FA Cup on Sunday. Have you been keeping track of the results lately?
I was sitting in the analysis room actually yesterday with Ronan, going through their analysis for Sunday. He was showing me all the bits on the opposition, so I think they're well prepared for the game.
And how important is it, do you think, that, you know, we've got the men's team doing well, women's team doing well, 21s are doing well? Like, it must be good for the club as a whole.
Yeah, it's great for the club. I mean, the whole club will be buzzing with it, especially with the two FA Cup runs in recent weeks, and hopefully the women go one better at the weekend as well, and coming into the season, hopefully some success for all three teams.
And just finally, how do you see this season going? Obviously, it's a bit of a broad question, excuse the pun, but what do you sorry, those killed me. How do you see the season going? Obviously, we narrowly missed out on another trip to Wembley last season. So do you think we're more likely to, you know, reach that next step this year?
I think it would be to go one better, really. I think if we could get a home game in the playoffs, I think that'd be massive, really. I think when you go to Chesterfield in the semi-final, it's always going to be a tough place to go. A lot of fans there, so hopefully we can come the end of the season, we'll have a home game here, big crowd as well.
Well, brilliant to catch up with those guests for the podcast, Josh. Lovely interviews there, and thank you to all of the people joining us on the podcast today. It's always great to have a variety of guests on. We hope that you at home enjoy it as well. So our message to finish off here is, if you are going to Boreham Wood on Saturday, come down and support the women on Sunday. And if you are not going to Boreham Wood on Saturday, come and support the women on Sunday. It's sure to be a great couple of games across the weekend for both the men's team and the women's team. So hopefully you can be there to support both. a vocal away section, games like this is always very important. You know, one of the quieter grounds, you know, the away support could be the difference. So get on down on Saturday to Boreham Wood and back the boys, and come on down and support the women on Sunday, as they look to make history, as we've talked about earlier on in this podcast.
You know, if you're a season ticket holder as well, you go free.
It's so worth it, isn't it?
And if not, it's £5.
Which is not much to ask.
No.
For a quality of football that you're going to see from Bromley. And from, let's not forget, AFC Portchester, a side who are doing very well this season in their own league. Mm. So it's got the makings of a good game of football, and fingers crossed that will be the case. But it's been a pleasure to be joined by you all once again today. Thank you so much for listening in. Josh, thank you for joining me as always. And we look forward to being back with you next week, and we hope to see you over the weekend. Take care. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.